All right, this morning I'd like to introduce our minister, Reverend Jacqueline Eckert, for our weekly gathering. Jacqueline Eckert, this mic is all yours.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter morning. Thank you, Lynn, for the lovely music. I love the Jesus Christ Superstar, and as well as the 12th of Never. Wow, what a promise, right? That's beautiful. I suppose you guys can hear me. good. Good morning. Yes, good. Good. well, at this point in our service, we turn to one another and say good morning and extend greetings and love to our brothers and sisters here. So, just as you would do if you were in your brick and mortar church. So I will let go of the mic so Lynn can play our opening song and we can say hey to each other. Okay.
When I walk, we are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Here we are. It's fun to look up and see Regina's all dressed up for church. So, so let's look at our purpose and values. There is consistent wisdom in the universe. It shows up in all religions, in philosophy, in all cultures, and throughout time. This wisdom is not unique or new. It is owned by no one and by no organization. No one has to go to a special place or special teacher to find it. It is the most abundant wisdom in the universe. Once one opens his or her heart to this wisdom, it appears everywhere by the hand of universal grace. There is also a way of not seeing universal wisdom. We all have the ability to be distracted from it by self-limiting and segmenting beliefs. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. And our core value number one, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. Thanks, Barb, for putting those up in the room. Okay, so let's look at our announcements. The first one is about our sanctuary director, Lynn Johnson. A few weeks ago, we announced that we wanted to give Lynn Wednesdays off. Lynn works pretty much 24/7, from very early to very late, as our sanctuary director, and Lynn needs a day off. So we determined to give her Wednesdays off. Well, that's not been working out. So we have a new plan. Our new plan is to give her Fridays off. So if there's some way that you might be able to help us make this happen, maybe by becoming a Friday admin or a substitute admin when a regular admin can't be present, can't make it so that Lynn doesn't have to be there to be the substitute, right? If there's any way that you think that you could help out on Fridays, please contact Lynn at mlynn811@yahoo.com. She has after 1:30 p.m. Sunday off, too. Well, that may be, but I don't think Lynn takes time off. She really doesn't do it, so we need to kind of force her here. So let's force her by giving her a day off. Good. I'm glad that she has some time off on Sunday. But she needs that Friday off. So anyway you can help would be, we would greatly appreciate it. Next announcement is our movie group. Our movie group will meet tonight at 8 p.m. I am facilitating the spirit-led movie discussion group. Last month we met and discussed the movie Lovely Still. It was a real joining, a really sweet joining, and just heartfelt. I mean, if you were there, you know that the movie brought out a lot for a lot of us, and a real sense of joining and a real sense of family. And then tonight we are going to watch. Well, hopefully, maybe if you haven't already watched it, you can watch it today. The movie, I'm sorry, you hear me stuttering around here, is because the movie will not come to my mind. I'm sorry, that's it. It's The Fisher King, with Robin Williams and, the other fellow's name. It's not coming to me either. But it's a lovely movie. And Jeff Bridges. It's a great movie. It's been around for a while, but it's a great, great movie. Very inspiring. I think you'll really enjoy it. Again, we will meet at 8 p.m. tonight to discuss The Fisher King. And then, of course, we'll also find out what movie we're going to, watch for our next movie discussion group, on the fourth Sunday of next month. So please join us 8 p.m. tonight. And then after our movie group, Martha Creek will present the last session of her 4-week mini series. Martha Creek has worked with Byron Katie and is a certified teacher of the work. And Martha's great. Martha's from my hometown here in Louisville, Kentucky. And Martha, I really like Martha. She's very direct, but very gentle all at the same time. And Martha just has a really clear vision of the truth behind the work, and really is an excellent teacher of that practice. So please join us tonight at 9 p.m. for Martha's last session of the work. And I don't and I don't think, if you haven't been to the first three sessions, I don't think that you'll feel at a loss if you come tonight. So come on in and join us tonight at 9 p.m. Okay. Let's see. And at this point, we'll have another song, and so I'll let go of the mic so Lynn can play that for us. Thank you, Lynn. Now we'll have an opening prayer. Good morning, Father. Thank you for this glorious Easter day. Thank you for the opportunity to join together. Father, help me to be an empty vessel so that I can be your means of imparting truth this morning. Help me to hear what you would have me hear and to say what you would have me say. Help us all to remember that every day is Easter day, that every day provides the opportunity for resurrection. Amen. Okay. Okay, I'm going to get through these tears and move right on to the inspirational reading. And this morning, Lisa Hester is going to read for us. Lisa's in Texas. She's going to read to us from excerpts from a talk given by Joel Goldsmith in 1964. Okay, Lisa, I'm going to let go of the mic, and you can take it from here.
Okay, can everyone hear me? All right, good morning, everybody, and thank you, Jacqueline, for this opportunity. Yes, and actually it's a 1964 lesson by Joel Goldsmith, and he makes that distinction from talks. Lessons are so that we can take away something and practice them. So it's a 1964 lesson called Preparation for Easter. Glory be to God. Of course, there is no such thing as experiencing Easter without a preparation for it, because resurrection is an experience. It's an experience of truth. And the reason for the Master's resurrection wasn't merely to prove that he could be raised up from the dead or that he could raise himself up from the dead, because of what value would that be to us? It was to exemplify his teaching that the dead are to be raised, whether dead in sin, dead in lack, dead in ignorance, dead in disease. The dead are to be resurrected, raised up into life again. As a matter of fact, the resurrection is the main teaching of all mysticism, all religious teachings, all philosophical teachings, and I'm sure all truth teachings, because without resurrection, you really have nothing. You have individuals who are sick, sinning, dying, dead. Without resurrection, that's where you leave them. You have individuals in the prison of their own mentality, of their own thoughts. Without resurrection, that's where you would leave them. Therefore, the entire race, all mankind, it eventually must be raised out of the death, out of inertia, which is a death in itself, a going on and on, and a continuing on and on in an old pattern. This is inertia. This is death. Our resurrection only comes through an activity of our consciousness. Something must take place within us, which ultimately leads to the Easter day, that is, the actual experience of resurrection. What the Master did during the years of his seminary life, what the Master did during his 3 years of ministry, all of this together added up to whatever took place in his consciousness in Gethsemane and on that final walk to Golgotha. All of these experiences added together must have come to a focus in that last 24 hours and enabled him to make the final demonstration on earth of resurrection, and probably paved the way for the next realization, which resulted in the ascension. Now, resurrection is not something that happened to the Master. Ascension is not something that happened to the Master. Resurrection and ascension is something that was an actual activity of the consciousness of the Master. And without this activity, whatever its nature, there would have been no resurrection and no ascension. Each one of us has the same infinite consciousness and can evaluate what goes on in our thought. Of course, in the doing of it, we make lots of mistakes, but we have no right to be afraid of these mistakes. Sometimes they might lead us to the right path. The main thing is that we determine at some time or another that we will be resurrected and that we will ascend. Without this conviction and determination, of course, the years will just pass, and we will continue to be acted upon by every wind that blows. But in a given moment, when we can accept that the resurrection of Christ Jesus was a lesson, it wasn't a talk, it wasn't a lecture, it was a lesson, an exemplification, an impartation of truth, showing us that which is possible to us as individuals, then we can begin the process of consciously abiding in the Word, consciously letting the Word abide in us until, in a moment that ye think not, all of a sudden it happens. The bridegroom cometh. The actual experience comes of resurrection or and eventually ascension. And Paul, of course, gives us the goal. Pray without ceasing. Know the truth without ceasing and abide in the word without ceasing. Day and night, live consciously always. Never live, not even for a moment of the day, to permit the human mind to have its way with you. Every human has urges to do things and think things which they don't want to do, which they don't want to think, and which they know are not good for them. And yet they cannot control that instinct or that thought or that deed. This is because we have lived for centuries letting the universal belief of the world influence us and have power and jurisdiction over us. We have lived so as to let ignorance and superstition and fear govern us, whereas it isn't necessary. It is not necessary to be victims of ignorance, superstition, or fear. Because there is a secret that was known to the ancients, and it was taught by the Master, even though the manuscripts that are available to us do not indicate how he taught us. And that is that you can be a law unto yourself by abiding in the Word and letting the Word abide in you. By living and moving and having your being in God consciousness instead of man consciousness. By living and dwelling in the secret place of the Most High instead of dwelling in carnal thoughts, carnal hopes, carnal ambitions. To each of us, regardless of what goal we are following on earth or what path we are following, the goal is God realization. And none of us in this room, none of us who hear these tapes, none of us will ever rest until the goal is achieved. And that goal is God realization. Thank you all. Thank you, Jacqueline. It was an honor to read this Easter Sunday morning. God bless. The mic is yours.
Lovely. Thank you, Lisa, for reading that. Yeah. Very powerful talk by Joe Goldsmith. Very powerful reading. Thank you. Okay. So let's look at this. We know those of us in what you might call the New Thought movement, right? we know that we view Easter a bit differently than, well, quite differently than has been than it's been viewed by traditional Christian religion. We know that the focus is on the resurrection; it's not on the crucifixion. Yeah. Carrie writes, I had no idea chocolate rabbits laid eggs. Yeah. The focus is not, you know, it's interesting because I saw the mother of my grandbaby the other day. She now has three little boys, and she wrote on Facebook. She said, "When did Easter become a second Christmas?" you know, of course, that's what we've done to Easter. We've made it another opportunity to acquire things, right? But our focus is on the resurrection, and I just love that Joel Goldsmith talks about, you know, what good would it do us. Let's see, I'm just trying to find that in this in this talk. What good would it do us if he were, it's up right here at the top, actually. It says, the reason for the Master's resurrection wasn't merely to prove that he could be raised up from the dead or that he could raise himself up from the dead, because what value would that be to us? Obviously, this is, as Joel Goldsmith tells us, an exemplification, a lesson in what is possible for each of us. But regardless of whether or not we want to talk about the body and whether we can heal the body and whether we can raise the body from the dead, really that's not the focus either. The focus is on the resurrection of our consciousness, raising ourselves from the dead, from the inertia of our thoughts, of our habitual thoughts. Raising us from, as Joel Goldsmith says, raising us from the prison of the mentality of our thoughts. And this is the main teaching of all of mysticism, that we can be raised from these habitual thoughts, from these habitual patterns. And where do we raise from and to? We're raised from these habitual patterns into our Christhood, into the recognition of who we truly are. And how do we get there? Well, we get there through the activity of our consciousness. As Joel Goldsmith told us, the resurrection that Jesus experienced was not something that just happened to Jesus. Resurrection was the result of the activity of Jesus' consciousness. Jesus became the Christ because of the activity of the man's consciousness. I also love how Joel Goldsmith says the main thing is that we determine at some time or another that we will be resurrected. What does that sound like? That's the little willingness, right? That's the grace that comes to us that there is more than this life that we've been living. You know, the song at the beginning that Lynn played at the beginning in My Savior's Eyes, I think that's Mitch from Endeavor Academy. And as I was listening to that, I was thinking, wow, yeah, how perfect is that? Yeah, Mitch from Endeavor Academy. Because I can tell you that I can point to that period in time. We went as a family, we went out to Endeavor Academy many, many years ago. And being with those people, I don't know, hearing a master teacher talk, I can't say what it was, but there came a recognition for me, and I can really point to that time and say that's when this point that Joel Goldsmith is talking about came to me. At that moment, I can say that I recognized that there was a resurrection to be had. A remembrance, a dawning, where I went, oh yes, there is more. Thank God there's more. And that recognition has served for me as a beacon. It's a promise. A promise that by consistent practice, by consistent recognition, remembrance that there's more, that I can experience the resurrection, that I can experience the Christhood. And that's the promise that I want to remind you guys of this morning. We all have the ability to do as Jesus did. As Joel Goldsmith says, each one has the same infinite consciousness and can evaluate what goes into their thought. And yes, we will make mistakes along the way. And you know what? We need to be happy about this. We need to be happy in the recognition that we have made those mistakes. Right? And why are we happy? Because there's recognition that we've made those mistakes. And we can take that opportunity to choose again. So the resurrection is not something, yeah, they're gifts, as Jay says. The resurrection is not something that is a future goal. The resurrection is an experience. The resurrection is a focus. The resurrection is a choice that must be made again and again and again. As we heard in the reading, Paul gives us the goal. The goal is to pray without ceasing. To know the truth without ceasing. To abide in the word without ceasing. So we prepare for the ultimate resurrection. We prepare for the ascension by practicing the resurrection daily. By practicing the resurrection as an experience of our consciousness daily. By praying without ceasing. By knowing the truth without ceasing, by abiding in the word without ceasing. So the question has to be, where am I making exceptions? Where am I attempting to live outside of the resurrection? Where am I attempting to live outside of the Christ mind? And for most of us, you know, as Joel Goldsmith said in the reading, for most of us, it can be a slow process. For most of us, we live in the exception. We live in these thoughts, in these habit energies. This came to me the other day. I was, I spend a lot of time living in the resurrection, but I spend time not living in the resurrection. I was driving down the road the other day, and I had this dump truck pull around me in the passing lane. The passing lane was short. He was driving his dump truck like it was a race car. And I'm mad, and I'm honking the horn. And, you know, this is the exception. This is these types of exceptions. You think, well, you know, there's a good reason to make an exception here, right? Because, you know, this is about my safety. And it's not only about my safety. It's about the safety of the people around me. And this is really dangerous. And and so it's an opportunity for me to step out of this Christ mind, to step out of this Christ consciousness, right? No, it's an opportunity for me to step into it. Right. So I want to it's righteous indignation. I want to justify my anger at this person. You jerk, right? Am I extending this guy love? No. I'm worried about my hide. I'm making an exception. And, you know, and that's somewhat of an extreme example, but we do it all the time. You know, my focus has become, my Christ consciousness has become, the practicing the resurrection has become looking, where do I go when I have issues? Where do I go when I have an upset? Where I go is to look inside. It's not to point out the other person's issues. It's not to say, well, oh, if that guy had only. But there are exceptions, right? There are exceptions that I will make. I make these exceptions on a daily basis. And I challenge you, and I challenge me, to look and see where I'm making the exceptions. Because what we do after several years of this practice is we slow things down. If we look to see where we're making the exceptions, we can slow things down so that we get to see the choice point. We get to see the decision point. And we get to choose again. We get to choose the opportunity for resurrection. So, I love that Joel Goldsmith's talk is called Preparation. Preparation for Easter. I thought it was, for me, it was reminiscent of a talk I gave a while back called Preparation for Enlightenment. What do we need to do to prepare for enlightenment? Recently I saw a post that I think it was Dove had made on Facebook, the post says, "The fruit ripens slowly, but falls suddenly, and without return." And so I looked that up. You know, I love the internet. You just type anything in the internet, and up it comes. So I looked it up, and lo and behold, I saw that was a quote from Nisargadatta Maharaj. And so I wanted to take the opportunity this morning to read you a little bit of the conversation where that quote can be found. So if you'll allow me, if you allow me the opportunity, I will do that. So the questioner says, "Is self-realization so important?" Maharaj says, "Without it, you will be consumed by desires and fears, repeating themselves meaninglessly in endless suffering. Most of the people do not know that there can be an end to pain. But once they have heard the good news Obviously, going beyond all strife and struggle is the most urgent task that can be. You know that you can be free, and now it is up to you. Either you remain forever hungry and thirsty, longing, searching, grabbing, holding, ever losing and sorrowing, or go out wholeheartedly in search of the state of timeless perfection to which nothing can be added, from which nothing taken away. In it, all desires and fears are absent, not because they were given up, but because they have lost their meaning. Questioner, so far I have been following you. Now what am I expected to do? Maharaj, there's nothing to do. Just be. Do nothing. Be. No climbing mountains and sitting in caves. I do not even say be yourself, since you do not know yourself. Just be. Having seen that you are neither the outer world of perceivables nor the inner world of thinkables, that you are neither body nor mind, just be. Questioner, surely there are degrees of realization. Maharaj, there are no steps to self-realization. There is nothing gradual about it. It happens suddenly and is irreversible. You rotate into a new dimension, seen from which the previous ones are mere abstractions. Just like on sunrise, you see things as they are, so on self-realization, you see everything as it is. The world of illusions is left behind. Questioner, in the state of realization, do things change? They become colorful and full of meaning? Maharaj, the experience is quite right, but it is not the experience of reality, but of harmony, of the universe. Questioner, nevertheless, there is progress. Maharaj, there can be progress only in the preparation. Realization is sudden. The fruit ripens slowly, but falls suddenly and without return. Yeah. So thank you for letting me share that. But, you know, that's the really cool thing. There can be progress only in the preparation. The realization itself is sudden. And if you listen to Joel Goldsmith's talk, again, we just had excerpts from that this morning, but you'll see that he spends a lot of the time in his talk talking about grace, the initial decision to experience the resurrection. That's a matter of grace. The path that we take to the resurrection, that's a matter of grace. The dawning, the final dawning, the final experience, the resurrection, the self-realization, that's a matter of grace. This grace is what Nisargadatta Maharaj is talking about when he talks about the fruit falling suddenly, but the ripening of the fruit. While it's also grace, it's a practice. And it's that practice that Joel Goldsmith is talking about. And how do we experience this grace? This is the change in consciousness that allows for the resurrection. This is the change in consciousness that we experience to pave the way for grace to come in. Yeah. And so, I have another quote here that I ran across last night that I think it just really exemplifies this. It's a quote from Muji. Muji says, and this is a quote, it was the Awakening Together daily quote for March 22nd, but I think it's just perfect. It says, don't be too quick to interpret the moment. Don't be too quick to interpret the moment. Just keep quiet. My encouragement is never think anything is against you. Everything is a blessing. Why should it be different? Just be quiet. See how it works itself out. See how grace is operating in your life. See how everything is perfect on your path to self-realization. See how everything is perfect for your resurrection. This is being the happy learner. Well, I didn't know if I would tell this story. I was telling my husband last night, I didn't know if I would tell this story or not. This was my my big event for my week. I'm sitting these days in family court, and we hear some really serious, some sad stories in family court. Parents who are losing their children for various reasons, and I may want to talk some more about that, but there are a lot of sad stories about there. There's a lot of people who are desperate. I see a lot of people using heroin. You know, just a lot of people looking for answers. I'm going in as a substitute judge because the judge who sits there is he went on to do something else, so there was a vacancy, so they needed some help out there. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, you know, you obviously need to do this, and this needs to happen, and this needs to happen, and I'm going in there and I'm trying to fix people's lives, right, from an outside perspective, and one of the clerks that I work with lives in the area, and these are small towns out a little bit further from where I am, and knows these families, that knows their what's going on in their lives, and knows the struggles that they've been through. And so after court, she took me aside one day last week after court and said, you know, this person has made a lot of progress. Her mother was a drug addict, and, you know, and she's been through a lot, and it dawns on me, you know, it's fine for me to run in there and go, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. But really, there's more going on here than meets the eye. These people are really experiencing some real struggles. So it came to me that really, to really help these people, I needed to be a little bit more humble. So I prayed for humility. And I tell you, as soon as the prayer passed my lips, so to speak, I clamped my mouth and went, oh, my God, what have I done? And I was reminded, you know, about the movie, like, Evan Almighty, that the character that's playing God says, you know, if you want to pray for courage, you don't pray for more courage, you pray for opportunities to make you more courageous. So I realized that I had just prayed for an opportunity to experience humility. And that opportunity, in fact, came around last week. Often when I'm in court, my back will bother me if I sit all day, so sometimes I stand. And to make a very long story, and I apologize for the long story, but to make a very long story short, I was wearing high heels, my heel turned, and I found myself, bam, on my bottom, behind the bench, right, in the middle of this very serious case. I'm laying on the floor. I have to get up and explain what happened. In the end, it was quite humorous. Yeah, exactly. Definitely humble pie, right? You know, how the mighty have fallen, literally. So it's a great opportunity for me to experience humility, you know? I mean, you get what you need through the grace of God. Yeah. You really get what you need through the grace of God. And this is true all the time. We get what we need on our path. I could have blustered through that. I could have, you know, done, but it's a beautiful opportunity. This is how we need to see things. This is the quote. Don't be too quick to interpret the moment. Just keep quiet. Never think anything is against you. Everything is a blessing. Dove, that's beautiful. We live in a sea of synchronicity within an ocean of love. What can I learn from this? It's always a lesson. What can I learn what is going on in my consciousness? How can I learn from this? How can I use this as a preparation for my resurrection? Wear tennis shoes. Yeah, well, that thought occurred to me as well. But, you know, this enables me to go back into what I'm experiencing in my daily life, right? To go back into the courtroom and to remember that. I mean, wow, talk about a beacon. Let's sit here and be humble. Let's really be open. Let's really be present and hear, what can I do to help in this situation? How can I be an empty vessel? How can I be an instrument? How can I help to impart the truth? How can I use what I know to be the truth to make this world a better place? It's not about the defense of myself. You know, another thing I was thinking about when I was preparing for this lesson was Jesus, and I love this, Jesus standing in front of Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate says, why won't you defend yourself? There's nothing to defend here. It's not about defending the self. It's about being in this moment, listening for the truth. What is required of me in this moment to be a living embodiment of the truth? How can I experience God consciousness? How can I experience God realization? How can I use this opportunity to move from human consciousness to God consciousness? When you ask to know God, get ready for your walls to fall in and your floors to fall out from under you. Amen. That's the prayer, right? Yes. Resurrection follows death. First we die, then we see with clarity. Yeah, it's not about protecting the self. As Jay says, to surrender, my defense is to die. It's to know that the self that I would protect, it's not where it's at. It's to surrender human consciousness for God consciousness. Yeah. And so again, as the Maharaj, Nisargadatta Maharaj said, there can be progress only in the preparation. Realization is sudden. The fruit ripens slowly, but falls suddenly and without return. And so, for us to experience the realization, we must do as Paul said. We must refuse to make exceptions. We must pray without ceasing, know the truth without ceasing, abide in the word without ceasing, day and night, live consciously always. Never live, not even for a moment of the day, to permit the human mind to have its way with you. Okay, friends, I think that I have said all that I have to say. And let me see if I can find an order of service. I think at this moment we will take a moment to sit in silence and to contemplate this Easter message. And we'll also have the opportunity during this contemplation song to make a donation to Awakening Together. We appreciate your donations. And Barb will post a link for us to make those donations. But really, take this time. What we want you to really do is take this time for contemplation. Contemplations about what the resurrection means to you. And then we'll talk about it after. Okay, I'm going to let go of them.
When I was a boy each week, on Sunday we would go to church, pay attention to the priest, and he would read the Holy Word. Consecrate the holy bread, and everyone would kneel and bow day the only difference is everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. When I was in Sunday school, we would learn about the time Moses split the sea in two, Jesus made the water wine. And I remember feeling sad, miracles don't happen still. Now I can't keep track, cause everything's a miracle. Everything's a miracle. Wine from water is not so small, but an even better magic trick, and anything is here at all. So challenging thing becomes miracles, to find in where there isn't one. When holy water was rare at best, it barely wet my fingertips. But now I have to hold my breath, like I'm swimming in a sea of it. It used to be a world half there, heaven's second rain hand me down. I walk with the reverend there, cause everything is holy now. Scripture verse. It made me want to bow my head. I remember when church let out, how things have changed since then. Everything is holy now. It used to be a world half there, heaven's second rate hand me down. But I walk it with a reverent air, cause everything is whole now.
Lovely. Thank you, Lynn. Okay, folks, this is your opportunity to share. And if you want to share, please raise your hand and do that. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic. Okay.
Hello, Jacqueline, and hello, everyone. Happy Easter. One of the questions that you asked early when you started speaking was something like, this isn't an exact quote, but something like, what do I need to do? You know, we're talking about resurrection, and the question comes up, what do I need to do And as I listened to the talk with that question lingering in the mind, the only answer that came to me was die. And that's what I need to do, die. You know, the reading was from Joel Goldsmith, and there's another famous Joel Goldsmith quote about dying 1,000 times a day. You know, resurrection isn't something that comes out of the ego. Resurrection, in that way, isn't something that I do. I can't resurrect myself, you know, from the ego. There's nothing I can do to resurrect. What I can do is die. And, you know, it's funny because you told a wonderful story about how when you were sitting on the bench and, you know, these people come in with all of these problems, how, you know, you think, your mind thinks that it can see clearly, here's what you need to do, you know, maybe to pull yourself up from the bootstraps or whatever, get yourself out of this mess. And then that clerk pulls you aside and shares another perspective. And what happened in that moment, at least from my perspective, is that you died. You know, you died a little from thinking you knew everything. And that's an example of death. And when you were telling that story, I shared that I saw a movie last night, you know, that I think is a wonderful movie for right now when so many people are talking about illegal immigrants and seeing them as just unwanted, maybe even seeing them as criminals. And, you know, this is a big talk happening in the nation. But it's a wonderful movie. It's called A Better Life. And it just allows you to see from someone else's point of view. And when you see from someone else's point of view, the opportunity that's being offered, you know, if you happen to be one of these people who just see illegal immigrants as unwanted and you don't see them as anymore, you know, it offers the opportunity for you to die a little bit from your opinions, from what you think is right. I saw something recently also, I don't remember where I saw it, but it was a simple, simple statement. It said, everybody thinks they're right. And that's what we need to die from. We need to die from our point of view. We need to die from thinking we're right. We need to die from thinking we know it all. We also need to die from our fears and die from our desires and die from our habit energy. You know, we have a lot of death work to do. We have a lot of death work to do. But the resurrection always follows the death. So I think for me, you know, as I go into the day after this morning's talk, you know, the question isn't how can I be resurrected? I think the question is how can I die? I take care of the dying, and the resurrection takes care of itself. Just one more quick story. The other night I went to see a play with Ron, the Jersey Boys. It was also quite good. Also, by the way, showing you a point of view. Someone else's point of view, which is always helpful, I think, to get to see through someone else's eyes. But when we left the play, it was snowing. It was snowing quite hard. And there are also two lines to leave, and really two crowds of people to leave. One is people getting in the elevator, and the other is people taking the stairs. And we needed to take the stairs to get to where we were going. And so at first, I was just concentrating on how to distinguish between the two lines, maybe watching to make sure that I didn't slip in the ice and snow. But a thought crossed my mind, and I think this thought came from grace. This was not an ego thought. A thought crossed my mind, and it wasn't even in words, although I'm going to have to put it in words. It was more like a realization. And the thought that crossed my mind was that everybody standing around me in this crowd is only temporary. Everybody standing around me in this crowd is going to die. And I accepted that thought and lifted my head. I'd probably been kind of looking down, watching my step before. I lifted my head and I felt so madly in love with every single person in that crowd and with every single snowflake that was falling on us. I can't describe the burst of love that came when I accepted the idea of death, the idea of temporariness. it was just this incredible. And I had this overwhelming urge to just start hugging and kissing everyone. But of course, I knew they wouldn't understand, so I didn't. But I became so in the moment. I really did. I was looking at people. I was looking at their smiles, not really hearing their conversations. I wasn't that tuned in, but noticing that they were conversing with others. And I became so in the moment. And we had to drive home from that play on the highway about an hour. And my habit energy would be to be afraid. My habit energy would be to be afraid driving, afraid for my bodily life driving in such weather. There was no fear. Whatever happened in that moment when I accepted death as inevitable, only love followed it. All the way home, I was so in love with the snowflakes and so in love with the storm. And some of you may have even seen that I posted a picture, you know, about how wonderful this was driving home in the storm. Not at all the Regina personality. Not at all the Regina personality. Regina would be a white-knuckled person, right? This came from the acceptance of death. So we do focus on the resurrection a lot. And sometimes I think people focus on the resurrection a little too much, like they don't want to think about the death. Like the death is bad and the resurrection is good. But I think maybe if we turn our attention back to the death and realize that the death is the pathway to the resurrection. And of course, I'm not talking about the physical death, although the physical death is going to happen. I'm just talking about the death of who I am and the death of how I think and the death of my habits. That's what we do. We die. And then the resurrection happens. So thanks for letting me speak. Bye.
Wow, Regina, beautiful. Beautiful. I take care of the dying and the resurrection takes care of itself. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's definitely the perspective. What can I die to? What can I die from? It's just perfect. That's definitely the focus. Thank you for sharing it. And Jay, are you ready to take the mic? I see you put your hand down, but we'd love to hear from you. Hello, Princess. Okay, Jay, take the mic.
Okay, can everybody hear me? I'm on my iPad and usually doesn't work. That's great. Well, I was going to say what Regina said. That's what I have to share, but what Regina said. I was interesting because Regina brought up her post, and I read that post and I was just sort of connecting with the thoughts she put off, you know, put into that post. And it was neat to hear the story that led up to that. And I've had some experiences also. I guess I like the way Regina always has such a, I learn a lot from you, how clearly you describe things sometimes. Sometimes I'm not good at describing things as clearly as you are, but I've been having an experience of feeling this dearness towards all people. Exactly like how you're describing, maybe not hug and kiss, but a great dearness. Like, I just love you, you know? And that's been with me, and it's not really gone away. It's, like, stayed with me. And I also had, too, a traffic experience the other day where I felt that wave of upset come up in me, and I hadn't had that in a long time. So it was neat to see it and just let it process through and give it up, and just reinforcing the thought that when I do give up that righteous indignation that you described really well, Jackie, that I surrender and that I die, but that I don't need to worry about the resurrection part. That's going to come on its own, like that. Well, like one of the songs that Lynn played is something about I woke up to God, but God's already there. God was there all along, you know. So it's that not the part I do. I don't have anything to do with the grace part. It just comes. So, giving up the mic.
Yeah, thanks, Jay, for sharing.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you very much, Jacqueline, for that message. It was very enlightening. I wanted to share with you this morning my resurrection that occurred about 10 days ago. And I know that it's very unique as resurrections go, or aha moments or awakening moments, because it's still with me. And it's still unwinding, unfolding. I was reading A Course in Love, and something, a book I never had, until I was at the, in the sanctuary one day. I think it's Wednesday, and Reverend Christensen is holding that class. And so I bought the book, and I was reading it a couple of days later, and I came across that description of how we fear that God will kill us. And all of a sudden, I sat with that. And as these things happened, an unfolding of thought came to me that I have not been afraid of dying or afraid of God killing me. What I've really been afraid of is God abandoning me. And at that very moment, I realized that much of my life has been trying to make sure that I did the right things so God wouldn't abandon me. And I could suddenly see everything about my life and how I've been, even probably even taking the MPP course and doing the things, being on a spiritual path, is that I have to make sure that God doesn't abandon me. And then I said to myself, well, when do you know that He won't abandon you? And my ego popped up and said, you're never going to know, so just keep trying. And I realized at that moment, and I might get a little emotional here, that He is well pleased in me. And I don't need to do anything to please Him. And I'll drop the mic.
Wow. Cal, that's really, really sweet, really powerful. Hang on a second. I'm trying to gather this thought that's trying to get away from me. thank you for sharing your experience. You know, one of the things that we learn as we go through MPP is one of the ways to experience this transformation from abiding in human consciousness, and instead abiding in God consciousness, is to quit following the stories, right? So you hear the story and you don't follow it out. You don't act on it. You don't act on the old habit energies. You open yourself up to another way of seeing and hearing the truth. And that's what Hal was just sharing with us. And it's beautiful. You know, you hear the old story wanting to start, and you make that choice not to follow that story, but to listen to the truth. Thank you, Hal, so much for sharing that. And you know, and that is what we do when we quit listening to our habitual ways of thinking, to the fear thoughts, to the thoughts of limitations. We do open ourselves up to grace so that we can begin to see, you know, like Regina and Jay both talking about the ability to see things the way they really are, the ability to really love our brother. That love is underneath all of those habitual ways of thinking. It's always there. And so what grace would have us see is seen when we give up these old ways of thinking. these old ways of seeing. And everybody we see is a dear, dear, dear friend. If we haven't covered up the knowledge of that with our old ways of thinking. Yeah. Okay, guys. Who else would like to share? Yes. Raising us from the habitual prison of our thoughts, from death to eternal life. And take the mic.
All right. Thank you, Jacqueline. Beautiful. Beautiful this morning. And really, honestly, when we come to the place where there's nothing left to defend, and that's when you talked about falling down, you know what? That, to me, is the perfect thing that happens, is that, you know, you're not real certain of yourself. You're not real certain what's happening. And, you know, but you're trying to be in charge. And then something comes along, like you're wearing the wrong shoes and you're standing up too long and you're falling on your ass. And, you know, all that's there to catch you is the floor. And you realize that's all there's ever been. This thing that I thought I was holding up just did not exist. And believe me, I have fallen so often because I have, you know, I have things wrong with me. You know, I don't have any depth perception. So, you know, I fall down. I don't have any balance. I fall down. Falling down has been the greatest lesson for me in my life, because it has shown me over and over and over again that what I think this thing that I think is so infallible and I take so much pride in really is just a silly, goofy clown that is just, you know, it's sweet and funny, but it's not me. And you know, I look around and, you know, I was listening to Regina talking about being, you know, seeing the people and feeling the great love. Yes, gravity is the great teacher. Yes, feeling the great love, feeling the great connection to the world, the great connection to the to everything. And then driving down the highway, and how many times I worked in Denver for over 3 years, and I drove that highway every day, 100 miles each way, and through storms and rain and wind and everything, and terrified. I was terrified so much of the time, and yet again, I always knew the ditch is there. You know, there's always a ditch. You know, there's always a floor. There's always something that's going to catch me. You know, when I had my accident and I, you know, went straight across the highway head on into this huge, huge truck, what was there to catch me? This huge truck caught me. It held me and kept me from flying through space into whatever, I don't know. But you know, I have never fallen forever. There's always been something there to catch me. And you know, in this world we consider it painful, and we look at it and think, you know, this is not right, this is not good. But in reality, it's just the reassurance over and over and over that I can't, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. And because I know that there's nothing I can do, if you look on my Facebook page, that the background picture that I have on there is a saying from Rumi, and I put it up a long time ago, and I look at it every day, and every day I know, be watchful, the grace of God appears suddenly. And that's it. When I'm not expecting it, I'm just watchful. The grace of God is here always. The floor is always there to catch me. And that's all I have to say about that. And thank you so much, Jacqueline. And thank you, Lisa, for the reading as well. I love you guys.
Awesome, Lynn. It's so cool because, you know, in preparing for the teaching this morning, there's so many things that I thought that I would talk about, many of which I didn't get to, and you guys just so beautifully say them all, and I'm so grateful for that. You know, because to me, a big part of that reading was the part about, you know, you don't know when the bridegroom cometh. So this preparation that we do is this preparation for grace that you've just so beautifully talked about. So thank you for that, Lynn. And I just love the idea that, as Kathy's written here, that you said, I've never fallen forever. There's always something there to catch me. It's just beautiful. Thank you. Cindy, take the mic. Cindy, I see. Cindy Tropia, sorry. I see your hand is up, but you don't have the mic. I'll go to the mic so you can take the mic.
Can you hear me? Okay. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Yes. Hi, Lynn. So, Regina, that was very cool what you said about the, you know, I can't even remember about that. The ripening takes a long time, but we never know when it is that the apple's gonna fall off the tree. That just, wow, it's like one picture is worth a thousand words. I got it. So really there is nothing we can do, but, aren't we can't, we're already there. So all everything we're doing is really to find a way to cope with ourself day in and day out. Myself, I can only speak for myself. We're ripening on the way to, but anyway, the other thing was talk about dying, and what came up for me was, because I carry a lot of shame, I do, and it's just the way it is, but when I come in this room and I have something that is eating me up, is deep and it's one of my core things that I just, it's been with me forever, but I'm aware of it. When I share it with you guys, and it's really hard to share, and all this heat and inflammation kind of rise up in me, I think that's a willingness to die in my own misperceptions, you know, in that heat, that burning heat that comes into my solar plexus and letting it rise up. Because I go through that when I do cop to my relapses or whatever like that. And I know that it's all the same. It's just a sin is sin or whatever. It's a mistake. But it's the story I carry with it that continues to cause me to give it power. I understand that, and I'm working on bringing it down to my heart and finding the forgiveness. And I know it's a ripening. It's a ripening that I'm in the process of, you know. And but my point I'm trying to make is, to me, it's not, I need not look at it like, I need not to be shameful in my willingness to share my shame. I need to go, you know, that's just another illusion that you're giving up to the nothingness that it is. So it's okay. So that to me, that's what came up for me is, you know, that I should be happy that I am willing to die to my own illusions, my own misconceptions of myself. Because that's a lie that I've carried with me. That's the lie of the world, that I'm not innocent. That in my vulnerability, which I loved. I don't know where we heard that from. Oh, it was that lady, Bernie, in my vulnerability, that's where I find my courage. I wrote that on my wall, my mirror, you know, because for me, that's where it's at, in my vulnerability, which brings up, you know, the Catholic thing of the Lamb of God, you know, the sacrifice. I know it's not a sacrifice, but I really, we are all lambs of God. We all are innocent, and we all are courageous, you know, which is the opposite of what the world teaches. We're not sacrificial lambs, but it's in our innocent, like the lamb, and its vulnerability, we find our strength and courage. And I wanted to share that with you guys. And I want to, because it is Easter Sunday, just really share my gratitude, because this is a sanctuary. This definitely is a sanctuary to me. There's no other place that I go to when I need to be felt the love of God. And you guys are the sanctuary. You're the Sangha. And so I'm going to drop the mic. Thank you very much.
Wow, Cindy, thank you. What a beautiful demonstration. Just beautiful demonstration of a willingness to die to your misconception, to our misconceptions of ourselves. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. And I'm going to make... I should know who Nabodi is, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to let go of the mic.
Hi. Happy Easter to everyone. This is Monica from New Jersey. I wanted to thank you, Jacqueline, for the Easter message. And, you know, for me, Easter, I was never anything celebrated growing up. And what it means to me is, you know, the resurrection of a new life. And that pretty much, you know, was the case for me, especially coming out of heroin addiction and that. And, you know, it's been almost 25 years. You know, I wanted to share because you guys are like my family, my online family, my online spiritual community. A lot of you know that my partner Pete, had open heart surgery, it's 3 weeks ago. And, he's in a nursing home now, out of the hospital, recuperating. And he's doing really, really well. I brought him some clothes yesterday, and he had a shower today, and he said he's fully dressed. And I want to share this with you guys. So I'm going to visit him today. And the gentleman that is taking me, he took me last weekend as well. I had asked on Facebook if there was anyone who could take me because due to my drop foot, due to my brain surgeries, I'm not able to drive. And in any event, this gentleman responded, and he was someone that I worked with 3 or 4 years ago, and he was so enjoyable to work with. Not only did I work with him, I supervised him. And he was just so wonderful and so willing and so great to work with. And, he picked me up last Sunday, and he's picking me up again today to go see Pete. And what it reminds me of is a saying I heard in the 12-step community, you know, be nice to the newcomer because you never know when they're going to be your sponsor. So in other words, you know, be nice to the newcomer because you never know when they're going to be there to help support you. And this gentleman was new and working in the field. We were working in a drug and alcohol rehab, and he was new, and I had a lot of experience. And, it just, you know, it just has been a wonderful thing. There have been a lot of people that have helped me out with rides and a lot of people that have helped me out with support. And the newcomer is bringing the new divine message. Yes, Dove. And so anyway, I wanted to share that. I'm very grateful to be able to go see my honey in in a little while, and I thank you all and send you all flowers in my mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica, for sharing. That's a beautiful perspective. You never know when the newcomer is going to be your sponsor. I love it. And I'm glad that, I think you said his name was Pete. I'm glad that your honey's doing well, really. That's sweet. And that there are people there to help. Ken or Rebecca, and Rebecca, I'm going to let go of the mic so you guys can see.
Thank you, Jacqueline. It's Rebecca this morning. Ken and I are both listening. I've hardly stopped crying since the service started. So what a blending of all the reading. Lisa's reading was so powerful. The words were powerful. And so was the service, and then Regina's speaking. And I'm sitting in the room listening, and then Hal spoke. And the culmination of all of that, I'm looking at the fabric that we have in the room, the books I have in the room, everything, and saying, you know, everything's a result of death. So what Regina was saying, it's really stepping into the dying. The books are there because the trees died, and then they were put into books. And be grateful that there's the books, something died. The fabric is, you know, however it comes, whether it's silk or cotton or whatever, something dies. Everything is a process of death. And to sit then and listen to, apply the words of the closing song, everything is holy now. To look at the books and the fabric and the furnishings, the clothes I'm wearing, everything is holy. Everything came from a death. So thank you for one of the most beautiful Easter services. And I know people can say nothing really died, it's all a dream, but it's so holy if we look at it that there was an action, as the reading was talking about. It's all an action. It's all process. There's no ending. Everything, every moment, is holy. Thank you so much. Letting go of the mic.
Wow. Rebecca, thank you for sharing. That's beautiful. Every moment is new and holy. Wow. Guys, it's been a beautiful, beautiful Easter. Thank you so much for being my Sangha, my Sangha, my family. I love you all dearly. And I am blessed. I am so blessed to be with you. So I'm going to let go of the mic and thank you once again. Happy Easter.
Where angels your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great